Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Dan, obviously it has been a tumultuous 72 hours in college football. We've seen some crazy spans, especially in the intermediary between we get to the actual bowl games and playoffs, but this is something else what we have seen. And I guess the question is this broken? Is college football broken, or is this the way it's always been?
I go somewhere in the middle. I don't know if it's broken, but this isn't what it's always been. Two main factors. First off, you have it's blue blood on blue blood crime here, right? You get to one of these jobs like Oklahoma or Notre Dame or any of the other big ones, and you stay. The coach never leaves unless they retire, they get old, they lose, there's a scandal, right? I mean, these are iconic. Bo, Woody, Tom Osborne, Bear Bryant, Joe Pa, right? You sit there for decades, and you get to one of these places that can win a title, and you build and build and build, and you take your shots. And sometimes it takes, forever. Bobby Bowden, right? You become synonymous. Here, for the first time in many, it's really hard to come up with any comparable. You have Lincoln Riley say, I'm out at Oklahoma, I'll go to USC, where normally they don't return that call. And then you have Brian Kelly say, I'm out at Notre Dame, I'm going to LSU. No one had left Notre Dame like this, not retiring or not, since like no one leaves those jobs. Well, they do now. So that alone is like, holy cow. These guys are looking at this and saying, Oklahoma and Notre Dame are good enough for us to win a title the way nobody would have ever conceded in the past. And then the second part of this is Brian Kelly. These things are always awkward, right? Someone's leaving. It's going to be hard feelings. But Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, and they still have a viable chance of getting into the playoff. Like, they only need two things to happen this weekend of about four games, all of which are viable. Like, if Georgia beats Alabama soundly and Cincinnati loses, Notre Dame's in that playoff. If Michigan loses, they're in that playoff. If Baylor beats Oklahoma State, which is, that's going to be it'll be about 4-point favorite or something, Oklahoma State, 5-point favorite. Very viable. Notre Dame's going to get in this playoff without their coach. I've never heard of a coach bailing on a team that could get into a playoff. Basically you go back to Bill Frieder at Michigan, and that's a basketball tournament where you really don't think you got a chance. This would be a 4-team playoff. And Brian Kelly's like, yeah, I'm not even going to wait and see whether we get in. I'm out. So that timing resets the holy cow. He's just bailing on a potential championship team to take another job, and he's leaving a place where he could have made – this would have been their third playoff appearance in 4 years. So those two things, to me, just reset how we look at these jobs. This isn't like Brian Kelly leaving Cincinnati to go to Notre Dame. I mean, this is just high major on high major.
Dan Wetzel with us on the hotline. Then let me ask you this. What does it say about the sport that now we have name, image, and likeness? Supposedly it should be easier to recruit around the country than ever before. All the games are going to be on TV, no matter what region of the country you played in. That wasn't the case in the 80s and even parts of the 90s. What does it say about the sport that even the top echelon upper crust programs, some would say Cadillac programs, aren't even good enough. The head coaches there didn't even think they could win there. That means only a few schools in the entire roadmap of college football can truly win long term. What does that say about college football?
Yeah, that to me is a problem, and I think name, image, and likeness will make it easier to spread out some talent. You're already seeing like Missouri starting to control some guys in its state that normally wouldn't, and we'll see. But it takes a long time, and I think an expanded playoff creates more chaos. But clearly, a guy like Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley are looking at this and saying, right now, I can't do it. I cannot get Brian Kelly's done a phenomenal job at Notre Dame. Like, they're maxing out that program. But he can't – it's a struggle to get the truly elite recruits, the five-star recruits, the top 30 recruits at Notre Dame than you can at LSU. And so he's like, I've been to this playoff, and I've gotten crushed. And I've watched Najee Harris jump over my guys. I've watched Trevor Lawrence destroy my secondary. I have to get that guy to win. And in recruiting, I think there's a misperception of, well, this is a four-star, he's really good, or five. Like, nowadays, the recruiting is so much more refined. You can watch every practice of a high school player now. And they have huge scouting departments like NFL teams. This isn't like send the assistant on the road and he shows up at some game and maybe he likes a kid. It's so much better. And a five-star is like a first-round draft pick in the NFL. And a four-star is, if you're a high four-star, you're a second-round pick, but pretty quickly you're like an undrafted free agent. Like, Georgia's going to have six first-round picks coming, right? State will sign, I think, three or four. Last year when Notre Dame played Alabama, Alabama had 22 former rivals five-stars on their roster. Notre Dame had two. How do you win an NFL game if one team's got 22 first-round draft picks? You're just not. So the fact that he feels like Notre Dame can't compete and Lincoln Riley just wanted no part of going into the SEC in Oklahoma, which produces very little local elite talent, is pretty telling. But I do think Lincoln Riley's looking at it also. That move is more about Oklahoma and the SEC is not the same as Oklahoma and the Big 12. Like,
yeah. Dan Wetzel joining us here.
Really tough.
Sorry, Dan, because we're having a couple of – I thought you were done. I'm sorry, because we're having a couple of connection issues. Dan Wetzel joining us here on the show. Dan, okay, what tells me that Michigan is back, and this isn't just like the 1 year with Brady Hoke where they were pretty good? What tells me that this is sustainable?
I wouldn't say anything. I mean, I don't think you have that proof. I think this has been a really good Michigan team. They played really well all season. You know, sound victory over Wisconsin at Wisconsin. They survived like a chaos game at Nebraska. They really were the better team against Michigan State. I sat there and watched that game. I was covered that game, and I still don't know how Michigan lost the game, but they did, which is fine. Credit to the Spartans. But this is a really good team. But like Hutchinson, these guys are going to leave. It's not like Michigan's recruiting is that great. I do think the program is energized with the younger assistants. They've gotten out of kind of a staid mode, and the recruiting should help. And I think Harbaugh's kind of fired up again. Now, do they do it again next year? Fine. But this is an excellent Michigan team, and I think Michigan will give – if they end up playing Georgia, I think it'll be a very, very interesting football game because of that defensive line can cause so much havoc. But I wouldn't sit there and say, okay, Michigan's an elite team. Michigan's never been a year-in, year-out top-five team. That's just like folklore. They're a very good football program for a very long time, but they've won half a national title in 60 years. So hasn't Colorado. So hasn't Georgia Tech. Like, they're good, better than those programs, but the idea that they're going to be that year-in, year-out thing, I don't think that's ever going to be the case about Michigan. But I do think Harbaugh is a good enough coach and the program's good enough to, on occasion, build up these teams and say, hey, that's, you know, I think even the biggest Buckeye fans got to look and say, that was a really good football team that we faced. That was no fluke victory or anything. This is a good football team. But are they going to be that good next year? I don't know.
Dan Wetzel with us on the hotline. Famously, Kenyon Martin's injury to Cincinnati ended up hurting them big time by a selection committee. Back in 2014, Ohio State got the benefit of the doubt when a new quarterback stepped in and they got elevated into the college football playoff. Why is there outrage about why maybe Notre Dame would get docked without their head coach after what the committee said yesterday?
Well, I think there was some outrage about both of those things, too. Certainly, it's not necessarily outrage, but, like, how is this a criteria? So, Notre Dame, the committee can sit there and say, well, you lost your head coach. We don't think you're going to play as well. First off, it's just impossibly unfair to the players. They did nothing wrong. These guys, if Notre Dame deserves to get in, they should get in regardless of what the coach is. If they merit it, and if a couple results happen, they're going to get in. I think there's just a fairness thing of the poor players. I mean, they got screwed here. Their coach bails on them. But how in the world could you know whether Brian Kelly's absence is a positive or a negative or no impact? You can't. It's completely unknowable. You can sit there and say, hey, I think losing a coach of that caliber will hurt them. Or you can sit there and say, this team's going to be so motivated and fired up to prove their old coach wrong is that they're going to do even better. Or you could sit there and say, hey, Brian Kelly's a really good coach, but maybe interim coach Marcus Freeman will be even better.
Let me ask you this. I know a lot of people are going after Brian Kelly the way he left. I'm one of them, just like, there's got to be a better way. Isn't there a better way than the way these coaches leave these teams, Dan? It's so greasy. It's unseeming. And a lot of these, like Tommy Tuberville, I don't remember Tommy Tuberville for anything he did on the football field or anything his teams did. I just remember from the way he left schools. It's bad.
Tuberville is the greatest of all time. He was at Texas Tech in Cincinnati, and he was at a recruiting dinner with a recruit and their family at a steakhouse in Lubbock. And he got the phone call from Cincinnati to hire him. And he didn't just leave like that night. He walked out the restaurant and never talked to the recruiter or the family again. Mm-hmm. Just straight bailed on him, like ghosted him. Like it was a bad Tinder date. That was an all-timer. I don't know. Is there a better way?
I thought there was. Like, and Lyman and I started...
You get into, like, capitalism. I mean, I think the hard part is you just don't expect the guy to quit on you when the season's still hanging in the balance. I mean, that's the thing. And to go back to my other point, you can't sit there and say they'll be better or worse. They might be more motivated. Like, Ryan Day was an assistant who just took over. Dabo Sweeney was an assistant who just took over. Kirby Smart's in his first job. Luke Fickle's in his first job. You can be a great coach who just a better coach than Brian Kelly just because you haven't had the chance yet. So if you're going to take an unknowable, a complete hypothetical, and say, I'm going to ding a team because I don't think they will be as good, you are truly just reading tarot cards at that point. And that's why they shouldn't do it. If Notre Dame should get in, they should get in because they're 11-1 and they beat and this is what everyone else wants. Or they shouldn't get in because you say, they didn't do this or whatever. That's fine. But if you're just sitting there going, I'm going to mind read the motivations and I'm going to understand the internal. That staff and those players might be like, thank God Brian Kelly's out of here. I can't stand that guy. He's a heck of a coach, but I'm so fired up to play for this guy. You don't know. And that anytime you have complete hypotheticals as a determining factor, that's just problematic.
Dan, we can't thank you enough for the time. We really do appreciate it. We know you're busy, and thank you for working through some of the connection issues. All the best to you.
Anytime. We'll do better.
I missed the BCS, Dan.
Yeah, I know you do. You're the only one. How about Cincinnati? Wouldn't even get in. They wouldn't even have a chance.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Tone?
Yeah, they're not good enough. They're not better than Ohio State.
All right.
Give Michigan the title game.
They would be.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, BCS, they'd be in the title game, depending on what happens, obviously, with Alabama. And you just feel like...
Notre Dame would have their coach quicker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. It's going to be Luke. I mean, all the fans are going to be upset, but because they want Marcus Freeman. It's going to end up being Luke Fickle. Let's be honest about it. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, I want to jump back into this real quick because I'm still bothered by it. And we got kind of another OBJ problem. And... we have a question of whether or not to flip the switch tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cavs basketball. Tonight's the night on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.